Captain Sir Tom Moore, the 100-year-old who raised millions for the NHS by walking laps of his garden, is in hospital with coronavirus. Boris Johnson and Sir Keir Starmer have both wished him well. Lisa Hamperley reports.
In a statement on Captain Tom Moore's Twitter page, his daughter said her father had been suffering from pneumonia and last week he tested positive for COVID-19. Hannah Ingram Moore said he'd been at home but needed more help with his breathing, so he was admitted to Bedford Hospital today. He's not in intensive care but being treated on a ward. She said he'd received remarkable care over the last few weeks and hospital staff were doing all they can to make him comfortable and hopefully he would be home soon. Captain Tom was knighted by the Queen in a socially distant ceremony at Windsor Castle in July.
A record number of coronavirus vaccines were administered in the UK yesterday. Government figures show just shy of 600,000 people were given their first dose. Another 587 COVID-19 related deaths have been registered. The number of new cases has continued to fall, with just over 21,000 more people returning positive tests. More inoculation sites are coming on stream in the coming days. Michael Ball is head of the Lancashire Vaccination Centre in Preston, which opens this week.
We're incredibly privileged and proud to be joining the programme, but it's fair to say our colleagues around the city and further afield around our county have been doing a wonderful job, and we can't wait to join those teams and giving patients plenty of convenience and access to the service to make sure we get everybody vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can.
The European Commission says the drugs maker AstraZeneca will deliver an extra 9 million doses of its vaccine to the EU by the end of March. The Anglo-Swedish company triggered a bitter row last week when it warned that its deliveries would be much smaller than planned, perhaps 31 million doses instead of the 100 million the EU had ordered. A monitoring group says more than 5,000 people have been arrested in demonstrations in Russia, demanding the release of the opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Protesters, some of whom clashed with riot police, took to the streets across the country, despite the authorities saying the demonstrations were illegal. Football, and in the Premier League this afternoon, Chelsea beat Burnley 2-0, Leeds won away at Leicester 3-1, and Liverpool beat West Ham away by the same scoreline. The Hammers boss David Moyes said it was a fair result.
The better team won, I've got no question about that. The Liverpool played very well. We didn't reach the standards we hoped, but that's got a lot to do with the opposition. We're ambitious, we want to move on, but to challenge Liverpool is probably a too big a step for us at this present time.
The Muslim Council of Britain's elected a woman as its Secretary General for the first time. Zahra Mohammed, who's 29, described the role as an honour and said she hoped her election would inspire more women and young people to take on leadership roles.
Yawovetska with the BBC News. Tens of thousands of Russians have taken to the streets for the second week running in the biggest protests against President Putin for a decade. Demonstrators in nearly 90 cities turned out in support of the jailed activist Alexei Navalny, denouncing the corruption he has exposed. Independent monitors said nearly 5,000 people were detained, including Mr. Navalny's wife, Yulia. Sarah Rainsford reports.
Protesting in Russia is risky. Everyone who came out today knew they could be arrested. And in Moscow, police with loud hailers were there from the very start, ordering the crowds off the streets. The protesters were demanding the release of Alexei Navalny. Many told me they weren't fans or followers of the opposition politician, but they were angry because they believe he's being punished for standing up to the Kremlin.
Are you not worried about joining this protest?
Sure, all of us is worrying. It's time to stop to live in the country where some people are building the palaces for themselves and other people just get the salary of 150 euro.
Corruption angers many people, even more than how Mr. Navalny is being treated. The Kremlin hopes to squash these protests, as usual, by fear and force.
The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has told the heads of six pharmaceutical companies that problems with the supply of coronavirus vaccine must be addressed. there's anger in the EU at the failure of two of the companies, Pfizer-BioNTech and AstraZeneca, to deliver the doses they had agreed to supply. From Brussels, Kevin Connolly reports.
Several EU politicians have spoken of possible legal action against AstraZeneca. The Anglo-Swedish company had warned the EU that its deliveries of vaccines in the first quarter of the year would be smaller than planned.
And now, with round-the-clock updates from Reuters journalists, here are today's top stories. This is Reuters Now.
Former President Donald Trump's two lead impeachment lawyers abruptly left his legal defense team on Saturday, less than 2 weeks away from his upcoming Senate trial. A source familiar with the situation described the departures of Butch Bowers and Deborah Barbary as a mutual decision. But it leaves Trump's legal strategy in disarray, as another source said three other lawyers associated with the team also parted ways with Trump. A third source said Trump had differences with Bauer over strategy ahead of the trial, as the former president clings to his view that he was the victim of mass election fraud in the 2020 election, which President Joe Biden won. The House of Representatives impeached Trump earlier this month on a charge of incitement of insurrection after he encouraged his supporters to fight his election defeat just before the deadly January 6th assault on the Capitol.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
It was unclear who would now represent the former president at the trial, which starts on February 9th. But with or without a defense team, Trump is unlikely to be convicted at his trial after 45 Senate Republicans backed a failed effort last week to dismiss the trial altogether. A two-thirds majority in the 100-member chamber is needed to convict Trump.
They are marching through now.
Disturbing. Newly released body cam footage was played by prosecutors in a Michigan federal court, showing rioters attacking police during the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The investigation into the siege continues as U.S. law enforcement agents found bomb-making instructions inside the home of a member of the Proud Boys right-wing extremist group who was charged in participating in the January 6th attack. Prosecutors said in a court filing that 43-year-old Dominique Pezzola had weapons and bomb-making manuals on a thumb drive device found within his home near Rochester, New York, arguing that he should be jailed pending trial. The Justice Department said Pezzola and another member of the Proud Boys, William Pepe, were indicted on charges including conspiracy, civil disorder, and unlawfully entering restricted buildings or grounds. Separately, the FBI said bombs found at the Capitol Hill headquarters of the Democratic and Republican National Committees were placed there the evening before the attack. The FBI increased a reward for information about the incident to up to $100,000. So far, more than 135 people have been arrested in connection with the rampage by supporters of former President Donald Trump that interrupted the formal congressional certification of President Joe Biden's election victory, forcing lawmakers to rush to safety. Five people died, including a Capitol police officer.
Police have detained more than 1,000 people at Sunday's rallies across Russia to protest the jailing of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. Hundreds were detained at rallies in Siberia and Russia's Far East. More were held as protesters took to the streets in Moscow. Police in Moscow detained at least 100 people as the rallies began under snowfall amid a huge police presence, Reuters reporters said. Crowds of protesters were scattered about in Moscow after the organizers twice changed the planned gathering point. Police took highly unusual steps to seal off pedestrian access to areas of the capital and shut down metro stations. Police put turnout at the Moscow protest at around 300 people. The rallies follow large protests last weekend and are part of a campaign to pressure the Kremlin into freeing President Putin's most prominent opponent. The opposition politician was arrested on January 17th after returning to Moscow from Germany, where he'd been recovering from a nerve agent poisoning in Russia last summer. He accuses Putin of ordering his murder, which the Kremlin denies.
You're up to date Check back later as stories develop.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Yogi Tea. Check self state of mind. Find your flow with Yogi Tea.
Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. A group of 10 Republican senators is asking for a White House meeting to discuss their alternative COVID relief package to President Biden's $1.9 trillion proposal. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana tells Fox News the plan could win bipartisan support.
Ours is about $600 billion. We are very targeted.
He says the plan matches Biden's funding for vaccinations, but sharply decreases funding to help schools reopen for in-person classes. The GOP senators say their plan narrows eligibility for economic relief, targeting those with the greatest need. It also extends enhanced federal unemployment benefits at the current level. Top Biden advisor Brian Deese says the president is open to ideas, but uncompromising on the need to move with speed on a comprehensive approach. Chicago public school officials want to restart in-person learning tomorrow, but Sarah Karp of member station WBEZ reports their plan will be derailed if the school district can't make a deal with its teachers' union. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is summoning state governors to meet tomorrow morning to address the country's slow vaccine rollout. Esme Nicholson reports just over 2% of the population has received an initial dose so far.
According to Merkel's office, representatives from major vaccine manufacturers and from the EU Commission are due to join her and Germany's 16 state governors to find solutions to the major shortfall in vaccines. Speaking to the Frankfurter Allgemeine newspaper on Sunday, Federal Health Minister Jens Spahn said there's no reason why the coronavirus vaccines from China and Russia couldn't be used in Europe, providing they're approved by the European Medicines Agency. While the EMA granted full approval of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine on Friday, Germany's health authorities recommend it is given only to those under the age of 65, citing a lack of trial data about efficacy in the elderly. For NPR News, I'm Esme Nicholson in Berlin.
This is NPR.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. A top health expert at the University of Minnesota urges a course correction in the coronavirus vaccine distribution strategy. Dr. Michael Osterholm tells NBC's Meet the Press it's critical to get the first dose in as many people 65 and over as possible. The United States accounts for more than a quarter of the world's COVID-19 cases. More than 26 million Americans have had confirmed or suspected cases of the disease since the global pandemic began. Nearly 440,000 deaths in the U.S. are virus-related. A French village is receiving an Austrian man's fortune as a thank you for hiding his family during World War II. The man was a Jewish refugee who lived in the village with his parents to escape Nazis. He died in December. Cameron Fairchild, NBC News Radio.
This is DW News, live from Berlin. Russian police crack down once again on supporters of jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. They make thousands of arrests as protesters rally across the country for a second straight weekend to demand his release. Navalny's wife, Yulia, is among those detained. Also coming up, Portugal's COVID-19 crisis takes a turn for the worse. With deaths and infections soaring, we'll look at how Germany and Austria plan to help. And hope for Hong Kong citizens unwilling to live under Chinese rule. The UK opens a new visa scheme offering millions the chance to gain British citizenship. London says it has a moral duty to help the people of Hong Kong. I'm Michael Oku. Thanks for joining us. We start in Russia, where human rights activists say more than 5,000 people have been arrested at nationwide protests staged in support of jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny. His wife, Yulia, has also been detained, taken into custody as she attended a protest in the capital, Moscow. It's the second consecutive weekend tens of thousands have rallied in cities across Russia to demand Navalny be freed. DW's Yuri Rusheto reports from opposition stronghold St. Petersburg.
Week two of the opposition's challenge to Vladimir Putin. Thousands have gathered again in the center of St. Petersburg. They are again demonstrating for the release of opposition politician Alexei Navalny. Ahead of the protest, the authorities cordoned off many areas of the city center.
For many people here, this is the first time they have ever attended a protest. Until recently, they didn't care about Alexei Navalny. But his arrest at a Moscow airport on return from Germany outraged many Russians.
And many are also here to demonstrate against corruption, perceived police violence, and a lack of democracy in Russia. They showed up even though organizers didn't receive a permit for the protests from the authorities. Firstly, our elites, our authorities are deeply lying. Secondly, I'm against corruption. And thirdly, I'm against political prisoners in our country. People who tell the truth in Russia should be free. I'm not here so much because of Navalny's support, not because of the immediate change of government. I'm here fighting to ensure that we are not deceived. In the run-up to the demonstrations, police across the country attempt to intimidate activists and journalists. Some were even arrested. Lyubov Sobol was one of them. She is the second most famous face of the Russian opposition after Navalny.
From our studios in Tokyo, this is NHK Newsline. I'm Ross Mihara. Protests across Russia continued for a second weekend, and the government again responded with force. Demonstrators were demanding the release of opposition figure Alexei Navalny. A human rights group says more than 3,000 people were detained during rallies that took place on Sunday in at least 80 cities. More than 4,000 people are believed to have been rounded up in the previous protest on January 23rd. In the far eastern city of Vladivostok, demonstrators marched out onto the frozen sea after security forces detained protesters in the city square. In mid-January, Navalny was arrested in Moscow for parole violations upon returning from Germany. He fled to Berlin to receive medical treatment after being poisoned in Russia last summer. The protesters are not only calling for Navalny's release, but are also making other demands. Frustration is building among young people over a range of grievances. These include a stagnant economy and the handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Neither salaries nor social support from the government are enough. The government needs to be replaced so people can talk with their leaders.
With parliamentary elections scheduled for September, the Putin administration appears to be trying to bring the protest movement to an early end. Turkey and Russia have joined together to set up an observation center to monitor a ceasefire between Azerbaijan and Armenia. They have been fighting over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Azerbaijan is backed by Turkey, while Armenia is allied with Russia. The peace deal was reached last November. It was brokered by Russia after more than 5,600 people had been killed in a six-week conflict. The Deputy Defense Minister of Turkey, along with his Russian counterpart, attended a ceremony on Saturday. They called for peace and stability in the region. The two countries will send up to 60 military personnel each and use drones to monitor the ceasefire. But concerns remain that the fighting will resume. Some Armenians are not satisfied with the deal and believe that it favors Azerbaijan. Experts from the World Health Organization have visited a seafood market in Wuhan that was at the center of the world's first major outbreak of the coronavirus. The visit was part of an inspection that began on Friday with the aim of identifying the origins of the pandemic. Chinese health officials had indicated the virus may have come from the market's wildlife section. The market has been closed to foreign media since it was shut down in January last year. Earlier on Sunday, the WHO team visited another market in Wuhan. Chinese officials say this market started supplying food to residents in February last year, soon after the city's lockdown began. On Saturday, the experts also visited an exhibition showcasing what the Chinese government portrays as a successful containment effort. Beijing is apparently trying to justify the actions it took and counter international criticism that its initial response to the coronavirus was slow. The South Korean government says it is introducing a special two-week period of extra coronavirus precautions over the Lunar New Year holidays.
The government has decided to keep current distancing and antivirus measures in effect for the next 2 weeks.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says he needs to know how many vaccines he'll get in the future. On CBS's Face the Nation, Lamont says transparency in vaccine numbers is the most important thing the Biden administration can deliver right now. A top health official at Johns Hopkins University says he's pleased by President Biden's response to the coronavirus pandemic. On Fox News Sunday, Dr. Tom Inglesby praised the new administration, specifically mentioning the strategy surrounding vaccines. More than 1,000 supporters of opposition leader Alexei Navalny are under arrest during protests across Russia. Reuters reports security forces have been breaking up the rallies today in dozens of locations across the country where protesters are demanding Navalny be freed. Cameron Fairchild, NBC News Radio.